It is a good morning, right? It's not snowing. Of course, if you're a skier, you probably are disappointed by that. I don't know. Just to let you know, most of you are not in this room are not 33 years old, I don't think. But if you had been here 33 years ago, you would not have been in school yesterday. We had an ice storm that shut down the whole area. In fact, we didn't let students go out of their dorm rooms because branches were falling off of trees everywhere, fear that they would get hit. You couldn't leave town across the crossroads in town because they had the roads blocked off because there were trees everywhere down. And although here we got power back in about, I think it was 3 days, but there were people in the area who had no electric power for over 4 weeks. That's how bad it was. But so today is a nice day. It's a good day. It's always a good day to serve the Lord. All right. I have a strange request from you to start out with. Since most of you don't know me, no fair for those of you who do know me so well, but for those of you who don't know me, I will give you a chance to ask me any question you want. Three people, but you got to do it quick. Who's first? Yes.
Who are you?
Who am I? Okay. I am Barry Qualick. I am, how would I describe myself? I am a follower of Jesus. Okay. I have a passion for him because he saved me out of a real mess in my life. What do I do now? I love sports. I love music, although you will notice they will not let me up there. Okay. You would know why if they did, okay? Music is not my thing. I love music, but it's not my thing. It's not my gifting. My gifting is preaching and teaching and in a very intense way sometimes. But okay, who else? Anybody else got a question? Quick, yes, back here. Which up? One first and then the other.
Do you remember names?
You look familiar, but I do not remember names. Give me your name.
Rebecca, I love Rebecca Standish.
Okay, yep, okay. Okay, good to see you again. Yes.
So how many courses have I taught?
Well, if you'd go back to the catalog from the years I was here, because it has changed some, so that makes it a little bit different, you would discover that I probably taught almost every Bible course and all but one of the four theology courses we had at the time. Not all at the same time, different times. Mostly, I guess, Old Testament. But I also taught John's writings and Romans and a few other things too. But that was my Old Testament theology probably were the most classes I taught. One more question I can take real loud. What's my favorite book of the Bible? Can you have a favorite book of the Bible? I think you can, as long as you realize they're all good. Okay. What's my favorite book of the Bible? I don't know. If you'd ask me a verse, I might be able to give you a verse. But Bible, that's kind of broad. Okay, you want a verse? All right, one from the Old Testament. Ezra 7:10. Ezra set his heart to do three things. To study the Word of God, to practice the Word of God, and to teach the Word of God. That's kind of been a life verse for me. The other one is found in Philippians 3. Where Paul says, I want to know him. Unfortunately, he also says the fellowship of his suffering. I'm not into suffering myself, but you have to understand something. You can't be resurrected if you don't die. So those are probably my two favorite Bible verses. Okay, and we may come back to one of them today. We not know. Okay, since you got to ask me questions, I get to ask you a question. Are you ready? Okay. What are you doing here? I mean, why are you here? Okay. Now, that's a broad question, isn't it? Okay, it could be as simple as, why are you here? Because it's time to go to chapel, rather be in class. Right? Could be, I'm here because my parents made me come to Elam. You know, who knows? I mean, and then you can ask that question in a way that's perhaps offensive, and you say, why are you here, implying that maybe you don't belong here. I'm not asking that question that way. You do belong here. God brought you here. But I really want to focus on that question for just a few minutes as we move into what I want to talk about in terms of worship, because there's a connection here in terms of things. By the way, that's not a question that I asked first. God asked that question twice to Elijah. The man of great power and glory and calling down fire from heaven and running away and hiding because a woman threatened his life. And as he ran away, at least he ran to God. Give him credit. Most people run away from God when they get upset. He ran to God and he says, and so he asked him, why are you here? And he says, well, basically, I'm here to die. You know, they're all after me. They're going to kill me. No one else is faithful to God. I'm going to die. And God leaves him alone for a little while, and then he comes back and he asks that question again. Interestingly enough, not with a great power or authority, because Elijah's ministry was full of great power and authority, but it's with that still small voice God asked him the second time, why are you here? And guess what Elijah said? Same thing. I'm here to die. They're all against me. There's no hope. God said, no. You're here because I have more work for you to do. And then he tells him the three things specifically that he wants him to go back and do while he's still alive. So it's always a good question to ask yourself. I do that on occasion. You know, some days you get up and you just go to work. Do you know that happens at Bible school? There were times, I went to teach for one reason, because I was a teacher. I had to be there. My wife said so. I told her, I don't want to go to school today. She said, you have to. You're the teacher. Now, there are days like that for all of us. That's normal. But if that's it every day, you got a problem. And you have to every once in a while stand up to yourself and say, what am I doing here? I'm here because God put me here. I'm here because he has a call in my life. I'm here because he loves me and I'm his friend. And I'm here to do what he gave me to do. And so every once in a while, you need to ask yourself that question. And I need to ask myself, why am I here today? Well, because Gabe told me to come. That's true, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here because I want to serve God, and I want to please him. So let's just move on from that question thing a little bit, and let me lead you into another thing. I think anything I'm going to say today is not new to you, and I don't feel bad about that, because I've read the Bible, and over again, Paul and others in the New Testament saying, I'm writing to remind you. You know, we need to be reminded. How many times did your parents have to remind you to clean your room or brush your teeth or whatever you had to do? We all need to be reminded. Why am I here? What am I doing? And the truth is, I was created by God. And God had a purpose in mind when he created me and when he created you. And that purpose is to have a relationship with him. And so he calls us things like sons and daughters. He calls us friend. There's other words that he uses. And all of those things are true. But in that relationship, how is it that we relate to God? How is it that he wants us to relate to him? And I would suggest to you that the reasonable relationship of a created being to a creator is what? One of worship. That's the most logical response. If he is creator and I am created, then one of the, it's not the only thing, but one of the most significant things about me is that I am created to worship him and to honor. The Bible uses honor and serve, other kinds of words that it uses. But that really is the thing I want to touch on this morning for a few minutes before we enter into praise and worship and song in that way, is to understand, listen, you were born to worship God. That's what you were created for. And in that worship of God, there is friendship, there is love, there are all of the other blessings of God that come with that. You know, the English dictionary defines worship in some pretty basic ways. It says reverence for a deity, to have reverence for God, to have, I like the word, extreme devotion. Not just devotion, but extreme devotion. Intense love, or admiration for that being that we are to worship. And the Bible, like I said, uses many words for it. Worship is the one we're focusing on today, but sometimes it uses the word honor. Honor is a part of worship, a way of worship. To glorify God has to do with worship. Okay? And to worship him, obviously we use that term over and over again because the Bible uses it. But all of those things entail this idea of who it is we live for and why we live at all. It's what we're created to be. It's what we're created to do. So if you realize something, I'm sure that you know many people who don't believe this. I hope you do. I think you do. You believe that you were created in the image of God. That's what it says back in Genesis. It says, let's make man in our own image. And it goes to more detail of how from the dust of the ground and the breath of life, we became created beings. And God said something about that. He said, that was really good. Now, you may have noticed that life isn't always really good today. And you know why that is. Because the created beings chose not to worship the Creator. They chose to believe that they could become their own God. Wasn't that the whole issue in the Garden of Eden? If you will do this, the enemy says, you can be like God. Well, the crazy thing about that, you already were like God, created in his image. Okay. What does it mean to be created in his image? Does he look like me? I don't think so. Every one of us has a different physical appearance in this room. So which one of us most looks like God? None of us, okay, in that sense. It's a different sense. It's a spiritual sense. It's a life sense that we are like God. In fact, I would suggest to you, if you want to know what it means to look like God, I'll use my theological term here, is that you have been born with his moral attributes. Not absolute attributes. You're not eternal. You had a beginning. You won't have an end, but you have a beginning. Okay? But what does it mean to look like God? Well, I think you've read the New Testament. I hope you have. Good book to read. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Point out to you just quickly, it doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. You don't get to pick and choose which ones. It's the fruit of the Spirit that's what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Doesn't that sound like God? That's how you're created in the image of God. And that's why he says we should exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, the thing that we were created to be. And so Paul wants us to do that. So we're created in the image of God, therefore we worship God. Now, I want to tell you a non-scientific principle of life. Okay? You have something in your genetic makeup that scientists have never found. I'm fascinated, you know, by the genomes and all of the genetic stuff and how you can do testing to find out who your ancient relatives were. It fascinates me that we can find out all of that stuff. But there's one thing missing. They have not discovered a primary genetic characteristic of all human beings. And that is that they worship. Every human being has a worship genetic makeup. Every one of us does. It's built into us. It's part of how we're in the image of God. And there is this thing that we know that there's something more than just us. And everybody has that genetic makeup. Now, I'm pretty sure scientists will never discover that physically because it's a spiritual genetic. Image of God, created in the image of God, a genetic desire to worship. A desire that says, I know there's something more than me in this world. Something higher than me. And so the natural human action is to worship. There's only one question. What will you worship? Or who will you worship? Because we all will worship. How do I know that? I read it in the Bible. And I also watch people's lives. Everybody worships something. Everybody does. Even the atheists, they worship being an atheist. They worship their superiority to religion. Everybody has that built in them. And so we will worship something. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about that. In chapter 1, verse 20, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that everyone is what? Do you know what it is? Without excuse. For even though they catch this, even though they knew God, that's everybody he's talking about in a broad general sense, they didn't honor him. There's that word honor that we use, worship. They didn't honor him or give thanks. They became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and professing to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged, here it is, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God, worshiping him, for an image, for the form of a corruptible man. Some people worship humanity. Oh, we're gods. Or maybe birds, he says. Or four-footed animals, or crawling creatures. Everybody worships something or someone. And the question is, what is it we're going to worship? Or who is it that we're going to worship? Well, I know, you know, we're modern people, right? Well, I guess you're postmodern people now. I'm a modern people, okay? You're all postmodern people. I'm a modern people. Well, we have this idea that we are very advanced beyond all of those years of history. So we don't have wooden idols, you know, that we carve out and put in our house. Yeah, maybe not wooden ones. Maybe we have plastic ones. Maybe they're things that we communicate with. It could be all kinds of things. An amazing thing is, even a wooden idol is just a piece of wood, can be used to warm you in a fire, or it can be carved into an image to worship. All of the tools of technology to me are fascinating. So when I need help, I ask my grandson, because he's a whole lot smarter than I am about these stuff. He's like in seventh grade and he's taking ninth grade math and wants to be an engineer of some kind. So I ask him. I'm fascinated. I like tools that we have in the modern and postmodern world. But they can be used for good or for evil. They can be used to accomplish our purposes, or they can be something we worship, so that we have to have the newest and latest and greatest every year. And if you want to know someone who's figured that out, it's called Apple. Because they could put tons of new technology on every phone they make, but what do? They put one new thing on it this year, so you buy the new phone. Next year, they put two new things on it, so you have to buy another new one. And then they put another one. They could all put them on it, not all of them, because there's new things about it, but they could put multiple ones. Why do they do that? Because they know that people want the newest and the best and the greatest. And there's not, if you got the money to buy one, no problem. If you want to buy me one, I'll take it. Okay, I haven't got that kind of money. I have a smartphone, although they're not as smart as they think they are. But anyway. We're going to worship something and someone. And so what it is, we want to worship God. I've thought about that. What is it, what are some of the things that I think people in this country worship a lot? I jotted down a few things. Wealth. How much money do you need? If I asked you that question today and you gave me a number, you know what? You'd still want one more dollar. Because there's one more thing you'd want. And that's not bad unless it's greed that's driving it. You want to use the things that you have available to use. So I think wealth is one. I think one of the things in this country that people value is absolute independence from anybody else to do anything I want to do anytime I want to do it. And I'm kind of one of those people. That's one thing I had to deal with in my life when God thought he could tell me what to do. No, I'm an American. I can do whatever I want to do. I found out that didn't work real well. But absolute independence. Outward beauty is worshipped in this culture. talent is worshipped. What's the name of that TV show again? American Idol. Tells you something, doesn't it? Now, I enjoy listening to people who are good singers and all of that. That's not the point. But the point is, again, we make it an idol. We put it above everything, including God. Sometimes we worship ourselves in this culture. But that's not the biggest. You know what I think the biggest worship problem in this country is? Where are the biggest worship places in this country? Try Buffalo. Highmark Stadium. And that's not one of the biggest ones, by the way. How about Dallas, Texas, which seats over 100,000 on Sunday morning, afternoon? Every major college that has sports programs, the coach makes more money than the president. Always. 3 to 4 times as much. And then, of course, there's professional sports as well. Now, listen, I like sports. Okay. I've even been to a Buffalo Bills football game. Actually, twice, which means I didn't go to church that morning. My apologies to you for that. But the truth is, I did not go there to worship them. I went there to have fun, and I enjoyed it. But I was watching around me, and most of the people there were not just having fun. They were having fun. But this was their life. They invested their weekly salary, all of their money to tailgate and party. Sports was a god to them. That's what they were worshiping. Okay. So I love sports. I played basketball in high school. I wasn't big enough to play football. But I love sports. But I can put them aside because God told me I had to be able to do that one time. And I can put it aside. I can enjoy it. By the way, when I went to watch Buffalo play, I was not cheering for them. Sorry. They were playing my favorite team. I grew up in northern Wisconsin. Okay. So where I grew up, there were 3 things in life. That's what the coach said. God, family, and the Green Bay Packers. In that order. Although people put them in a reverse order, I think, most of the time. Okay. Sports is something we worship in this culture. If we don't worship God, we can enjoy it. We can have fun. You know, if I was good enough, I would have played pro sports for free. I loved it. But that's not what God called me to do anyway. I also had set off my own way. I decided I was going to make a lot of money. So I was in a pre-law program because lawyers make lots of money. And people have told me that I would have made a great lawyer because I can out-argue anybody on any subject. Maybe that's why I'm a good theology teacher. I don't know. But anyway, enough of that. Okay, back to the question, what am I doing here? Why am I living on this earth? I am living with my Creator, with my relationship with Him, and I am living to worship Him. That's the point. Then comes the hard question, how does one worship God? If I'm supposed to do that, how do I do that? What does that look like in my life? Okay. Now, I think that one of the things it looks like is what we're going to do in a little while here this morning. Okay, but that's only one of the things. Why do we come together? Because God said we're supposed to get together, right? Get together and worship, encourage one another. Okay, so what does worship look like here now? Well, what do we normally do when we go? I'll use church as a broader example than just school. What do when we go to church? Okay, we sing, right? That's a way we worship God, and I think that's the way we most think of when we worship God. What else do we do? Okay, we hear the word of God. Is that worship, or did worship stop when the music people went away? You have to be careful about that. Okay, music is a great way to worship God, but it's not the only thing we do when we get together that worships God. We worship God by the preaching of the word. We worship God when we pray. We worship God when we give. Giving is an act of worship. We worship God when sometimes we have communion. All of those are ways that we worship God when we're gathered together. And that's what we should be focusing on when we're doing those things. Because we can do every one of those things and not worship God. We can sing. We can sing Christian songs and not be worshiping God. Scary thought. You can actually listen to the word and not be worshiping God. You can give and just give because you think everybody's supposed to. So we have to make sure we guard our hearts in our place. But do we only worship God when we're here together? Okay, so, well, actually, you only worship God this week, right? Because it's worship emphasis week, and then you're done with that, right? Just like week of prayer, you're done praying. You don't need to pray the rest of the semester. I hope you don't believe that. I hope you don't believe that because you emphasize something that it ends when that emphasis is done. But that emphasis encourages you to go on in your worship, whether it be prayer or worship week like this, whatever it might be. So how do I worship God once I walk out of the building? Or do I? Am I done until I come back together again? How do I worship God out there? Or do I? You know, how in my life am I going to worship God, not just 1 hour or 2 hours a week, or since you have chapel 3 or 4 days a week, whatever. How do I worship God? In my work. Okay. Every one of us, hate to tell you this, has to have a job. And work is not evil, by the way. God created man and woman in the garden to work, and there was no thorns and thistles. It was a great... You say, well, the problem with working is the people I work with. You're right. They say the same thing about you. Okay. Work is not evil. Sin has made work a problem many times for all of us. But I worship God in what I do for a living, whatever that happens to be at a time. I've been blessed to do something I love doing almost all of my adult life, and that is to pastor and to teach the Word of God. That's what I do. Am I worshiping God when I do that? That's important for me to ask. But whatever work you have, I have a friend that worked in a secular world all of his life. He led more people to Jesus than I ever will. And he didn't do it by doing it on work time. He did it by the way he worked, and inspired people, and they asked him questions that he would talk to them when it wasn't work time. And that was his gift of worship. A very powerful gift of evangelism in that sense. Okay? How else do I do it? What about when I go to class? Oh, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. And I had to get out of bed. At least you weren't at school. I had started some classes at 7:30 in the morning at the State University I was at. That was bad. I'm not a morning person. Okay. But sometimes you just get up and go. I understand that. I do that too. Okay. But do you understand that what you're doing in that classroom can be an act of worship? That you are learning about the one you worship. That you are engaging your mind as well as your heart in that knowing of God. So school can be a place of worship. What do I do on my own time? My personal time. All kinds of different things, not the same thing every day. But am I thinking about my life that all of what I'm doing is to worship God? That's the question. Because there's no one way to worship Him. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our... No. You got to get God out of your head and into your heart, right? Careful what you're saying there. Because your heart doesn't do anything without your brain thinking anyway. Okay? But it needs to be both of those things. I know people who graduated from eighth grade. I'm trying to remember a friend I had down in the mountains in Virginia when I was pastoring down there. And he was smarter than most Christians I know. I also had a casual friend that has a PhD in philosophy, and he's a born-again, spirit-filled person. It's not how much, it's what you do with what God gave you. So that we worship God in every aspect of our life. Now, the truth is, there are some ways that you like worshiping God better than other ways. That is, for some of you, all you musicians here, how do you most like to worship God? By singing, playing your instruments. Great, that's a great thing. I confess I'm sometimes a little bit jealous of you because I can't do that. Oh, I can play about 4 guitar chords, I think. But I haven't done that for a long time either. But that's how you, and that's great. Do what God's gifted you to do. But don't neglect the other parts of worship. What's my favorite part of worship? That's hard to say because one of them I'm doing right now. I worship God by preaching and teaching the word. But my favorite place to worship is out hiking in the woods someplace in God's creative nature that he's made. Go out here to Menden Ponds Park and walk the trails. That's just, wow, look at these things God's made. Amazing. Okay. I also like to get together and worship and hear other people preach the word. And I do like to sing. You just don't want to be real close to me when I'm singing sometimes. Okay? Because I don't always stay on key. But again, I want to encourage you, don't neglect the thing that God has gifted you with as your primary focus. Don't neglect that. Don't downplay it. Not downplaying it all. But don't neglect the other things that maybe are more difficult for you. You know, there are people who like to pray all the time. Most of us don't like, come on, do I dare say that in Bible school? Most of us don't like to pray all the time. But make prayer a part of your worship. A bigger part of it than you made it before, maybe. You know, some people like to study the word. Me. Okay. Love to study the word. Dig in and see what I can find. Okay. But there are other aspects of worship that I also want to practice in my life. In my work, in my thing. So let me just sort of focus quickly as we sum up here in 3 areas. I would challenge you to think about worship as knowing God more, like I quoted from Philippians. If Paul thought there was more to know about God than he knew towards the end of his life, great man of God that he was, do you think there's more about knowing God that we need? I'm still trying to know God more. Always trying to know more. Not because I lack it, but because there's just more to him. I've discovered that. You know, when I got saved, I thought I knew everything about God. I found out not really. But I'm still learning. He still does things that he doesn't choose to explain to me. He and I have gone around about that a few times. Okay. He still does things that surprise me. He still does things in ways that I don't understand. There's more to know. Worship by knowing more. Study the word. Spend time with him. Worship God by loving more. We love because he first loved us, not because people are lovable. If you hang around someone enough, anyone, you will discover they are not always lovable. Okay, some of them less lovable than others, maybe. Okay, but the truth is, none of us are perfect, so we're not always lovable at this point. Why do we love? Because God first loved us. I want to worship by loving other people. And for some people, that's really hard for me. Because maybe they've done things that hurt me. Or maybe they do things in a way that I don't like. Okay. You know why colleges were invented? Let me tell you a little theory here. Side note. Why are colleges invented? Why do people live in dorms? It's because you need to get a little practice living that close to someone else. Because down the road, many of you are going to get married. And you don't get to get a new one every semester. If you don't like the one you have. So you better face reality. Hey, I've been married, it'll be 53 years if we make it to August 7th. And are still here on the earth by then. 53 years. You know what? We don't always get along. We don't always agree with each other. And in fact, when we first got married, we thought we knew each other. We found out that wasn't true. We still love each other. We're still here by God's grace. Okay? But you know, we don't love because people are lovable. We love because God loved us when we weren't lovable. And that's why we love. So we need to worship God by loving more. One last thing, we need to worship God by serving more. Jesus came to this earth to serve us, to give his life for us. He didn't have to do that. I know you could argue, well, it was in God's plan, so he had to. I know all of the theological stuff. But he chose to do that. And so we love God by serving others. In fact, most of the time I didn't have like business cards or anything, but the one place I had a larger church, it was in a bigger city, and I did need some way to tell people my address and stuff. So I had a business card, and on my business card I had printed, serving God by serving you. Because, you know, I tell you a secret, God doesn't need your help. People need your help. And God needs your help to help people. Not because he needs to, but because that's the way he wants you to be. And that's the way he designed it. Okay. So, focus on worship this week. Knowing more, loving more, serving more. So as we switch directions here, I'm going to stop talking. Okay, and the worship team's going to come up here, okay, and we're going to change our mode of worship from talking about the word to singing. And I have a hunch that that'll be good, because it's good to sing praises to God. It's good to worship God in this way. So they're getting up here, and you're done listening to me. Boy, aren't you glad about that? It's over with. Now I can get to the other good stuff. Okay, yeah, we can get to the other good stuff. I like the other stuff, too. So I'm going to shut up here, and we're going to sing. And I'll try not to sing too loud and hurt your eardrums. Let me pray for a minute. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us, for saving us. Thank you, God, for all that you do for us. And Lord, we want to be those who worship you, who honor you, who give glory to you. And so we continue to do that now as we switch directions and we take time to sing our words of worship to you this morning.